One day you rescue somebody.
Amen.
And it's so crucial, the person must be somebody who thought you were stupid. It's called the demonstration of his righteousness. It's called what? The demonstration of his righteousness. And let me say this to you again. I said on Tuesday, temptations are what? Tempting. The reason why people walk in the daily fashion is because they are tempted. Yes. Temporal gain makes people behave like tails. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's what it does. But when you are indeed the head, which is what God says that you are you getting me? What happens is that you reason. When I say reason, you reason with the promises of God. Therefore, you don't easily fall for the temptations that move people up and down. Most of the time, people are giving what they thought was wise counsel. What they think is wise counsel. They are actually making sense. I hope you are getting my point. Yes, they are making sense. Doubt does not mean refusal to believe. Doubt is the reasonable explanation you have for not believing. Doubt is not just a stubbornness of saying, no, I don't go agree. I don't go agree. Why should I believe? Okay, I don't want to believe in us. No, doubt is, no, it does not make sense. Even if God were to open the windows of heaven, can these things be? Think about it. It took 16 years for us to get to this level. You are telling me we'll recover in 1 year? It does not make sense. Look at it, start telling you history. That's doubt. That is what doubt is. Doubt is that reasonable thing. You say, oh boy, you know, life, let me just tell you. A man has to be smart. You have to be smart. How can you say at this particular age, you have not made the arrangements to build a house? Look, listen, country is not getting easier. It's been said that inflation is only getting worse and worse and worse. And the person is telling you everything. So what do I do? Look, this is the way by which men do it and they are safe. Therefore, abandon this so-called calling you claim to have. Abandon these so-called ideas you claim to have. And first, I'm not saying you shouldn't pursue your vision, but make money first. You know, it makes a lot of sense. No, I've seen with them that now I can do the will of God. Now that I have made it. The other said? Yeah, people have said that to me again and again and again. You cannot. Listen, let's go back to ministry now. I help those who are already also going into ministry. A lot of people say things like this. First, I will go and make money. So that people will know I did not come to ministry because of money. Let me ask you a question. Are you doing ministry because of what people will think? Or you are doing ministry because you feel it's an assignment that God gave you? Is it not what God thinks that matters more than what people think? I don't care what people say about why you are doing ministry. Just do it. I don't know whether you get my point. It is wrong for a preacher to say, I will first, that you believe you are called to be a preacher. I will first go and make money, and then settle down, and I'll have enough money to finance the ministry. That ministry will never go anywhere. It won't. It will not be anointed. It will never go anywhere with that kind of mindset. It will never go anywhere. That is not right, righteous thinking. It is not. Like I say all the time, you cannot use the reason why you were born in your spare time. You hear what I said? No, it's not right. You do every other thing with your spare time. But the reason why you were born, must be the first and foremost thing in your heart. Because, I don't know, I wanted to leave this ministry matter, but it's not leaving me. So please, let me stay there. All right? Are there two or three ministers who have questions inside the house? Maybe they are. So let me continue talking. The thing is just in my heart, all right? Let me tell you something about ministry. Money is not ministry. Amen? You don't need to make money to do ministry. I say it all the time. What God sends as ministry is mouth. Yes, it's not money. As money is needed, and as you pray about it, that's all. Not lobbying, not raising funds, not using magomago, you know, tricks. This anointing today is just for your breakthrough. And you know it's a lie. It is for raising money. You know, there's anointing for breakthrough, anointing for raising money. Sometimes we'll cross the two. Is that okay? Uh-huh. No magomago, no trick. Just pray and do your work. God will supply the resources that is necessary. You don't need to become rich to be a preacher. You understand my point? I've seen men, they say, God has blessed me all my life. What else can I do for him? They go to Bible school. That's madness. You notice I used the word madness. Did you notice that? It was not a mistake. I thought about it very well. And the best way I can describe that phenomenon is madness. You say, oh, for all things that God has done for me, it's now time for me to do something for him. It's madness. Should I say one more time? It's spiritual lunacy. For you to think that because God has blessed you, now go to Bible school and become a pastor, a preacher by force. You are looking for God's trouble. Do you get my point? If you are so concerned, because I've seen that thing. Oh God, what am I talking about? Let me just continue talking. Maybe I'm asking some people's questions. All right? I've seen that thing a lot of times. You hear me say this all the time. A man will now say, he's very humble because when he goes to church, that he can sweep. If you don't sweep in your house, you're not humble. Should I say it one more time? If you sweep in church, you are a rich man, a multi-millionaire, you are an MD in your company. Let's say you are a bank manager. Eh? And you can sweep in church, and you think, and they're saying, and your pastor says, oh, that brother is so humble. You know, some of you young men, you don't know what's wrong with you. Look at this man, he's a manager, but he comes here and he sweeps. It's idolatry. You want to see a humble man? Wait, rush. Just go to that banking hall early one morning and watch him pick the scraps of money paper. You know that thing they use for wrapping money. Let him join them, pack it one day. If he never does that, he's lying to himself and he's lying to God. Are you getting my point? Look, I use that as an illustration of the main thing I'm trying to say. So when a man thinks that I will go to church, having made it in life, I'll now go and show God that I'm serious about him. I'm now serving properly by becoming a preacher. Something's wrong with him. Something is wrong with him. Something is wrong with him. Something is wrong with him. In the same manner, if a man, the other way, thinks that I have to go through that process first, make it first before I become a preacher, that's what I'm supposed to be, something is also wrong with him. The two of them are not tied together. Money and ministry, they are not tied together. And ministry, that is, preaching of the word, is not a sign that you're a humble man or that you are serving God. You know, I told you before, if you have not read the book, How to Work for God, please go and read it. And there's no discount again. The discount was just for the other day. If you want to buy it today, buy it at the normal price. We don't tie. But please, you must read that book. Because people make that mistake all the time of thinking that, listen, it's that thing I do around what I call the preaching of the word of God that is a service to God is not true. If you want to serve God, serve God. If you perceive that something is your calling in life, start working on it today. I'm not saying resign the job you are doing and walk away. But start working on it today. And if indeed, if the job you are doing is not allowing you at all to do anything about it, then it's time to look for another job. It is time to look for another job. You hear what I said? It is time to look for another one. Because you cannot use the thing, the reason why you were born only in your spare time is not allowed. Because when you get to heaven, that's the only thing you're going to be judged upon. Ah, what's wrong with you? That's the only thing you're going to be judged by. And you cannot let the devil bait you away from the reason why you were born because he says, does not make a lot of money. What's wrong with you? This is what you're going to be judged by. This is what you are going to be judged by. If you indeed believe that God is the judge and is going to judge one day, that one day you will appear before the judgment throne of Christ, then you will not behave the way you are behaving. Do you get what I'm going to explain? You don't need money in ministry. You say, Pastor Banky, what? Don't you pay for TV? I know what I'm saying. We started ministry without being on television. Wife, am I lying? Yes. How did we start ministry? I've told the story too many times. I'm tired of telling it. Where's Kingdom World Tracts? We have pieces of paper there. That's all we were sharing out to people. And I used to write it at home and print a few thousands of them and give it out free of charge. And that was where ministry began. And then we kept on increasing it until we came to this place and put it in on radio and then on television and another television. I know we kept on increasing it. You are getting my point? If there's something that God created you to be able to do, and you believe that that's your calling in life, bro, start it. If it's a secular thing, it's a spiritual thing, whatever way you want to describe it, start doing something about it. Be faithful in doing that little thing about it. The season will come that God will breathe increase upon it, and you'll be amazed because you have exercised yourself thoroughly when the thing was little. Do you get the point I'm making? Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, if you're an artist, paint every day. Are you getting my point? Yes, just paint every day. If you're a musician, write songs every day. Go to the studio, book time, do it every day. A day will come, you won't have time to write songs again. Because you will be so busy, you won't have time to write new songs. And God gives you the lean seasons to sow those seeds. I told you something as an illustration before. If somebody comes to me and say, and God allows me to follow that trend, I say, look, Pastor Banky, we want to publish your books and spread all over the world. Can you release 5 books in the next 1 year? I'll tell you, I'll do 10 for you in the next 1 year. You know why? I have 5 in the bag. I don't know whether I get the point. I mean, they were written years ago. I still write them. You see all those sermons I send out to you free of charge? They are books. You don't realize it. I compile them. That's a decent book. You continue to do that, even though you're not very busy. Now, nobody's acting. Like I told you those days, nobody was listening to me. I wrote my messages to myself. There was time I bought a microphone. If I tell you now, you start laughing. I actually bought a mic. And then when I want to share with my wife, I record it. I don't know whether I can remember when we were staying in guest house. I think I still have the tape. I preached 2 sermons on faith to one woman congregation. I was a pastor, my wife was the audience. And I was so like, no, this thing, and as God is my witness, what I thought was that I will multiply the tapes and distribute the tapes. But as God will have it, ministry picked up shortly after, so I didn't need that one. Are you getting my point? But I did. I bought a mic, connected it, and I started recording. And I'm preaching to only one person. And that's the wife I married. I said, my reason was that all the sermons I had preached to her, they have been wasted in like only her will hear it, and that's the end of it. So I went and bought a mic. 300 naira, I remember, I paid for that microphone. And I decided to start recording. You need to do things like that on the gift that God has given you. Listen, that is your destiny. It doesn't have to be a money-making thing. A lot of things are commercial. They're in the business world. Is this the same principle? This is the time you must focus on it. That's how heads reason. That's the point I'm making. What do heads understand? They understand. You know, if you're here on Tuesday, we talked about Isaac. Isaac sold in the land. Everybody was running to Egypt. There was famine in Egypt. Isaac was also heading for Egypt. But God stopped him on the way. Are you getting my point? And he was able to buy land cheap because most of the Philistines had run to Egypt. And in the same year he sold in that land, the man increased. We found 3 words that day. He became rich, he grew richer, and he became what? Exceedingly wealthy. Why? Because God caused him to stay in a place that did not look buoyant, where everybody else ran away from. I don't know whether you heard me. What am I saying? You are ahead. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Your season may not be now for blossoming for everybody to know. We read from that Isaiah chapter 49, in which Isaiah at the point in time he complained. Isaiah complained at a time, thinking that what I am doing is I'm wasting my time. One thing I know about God is that he will sustain you all the time. You will have food to eat. You may not eat in an expensive hotel, but the food will be available. You have money to transport yourself. You may not be in an S-class Mercedes Benz, but you may be in an innocent IVM bus. You know those buses? You have money to pay to get from one place to the other. You will have. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
At times like that, when it doesn't look like you are too busy, you know what God has done for you? He has given you time to spend. You've heard my testimony again and again. If I had fallen for what everybody used to fall for then, in the matter of young man must have money, I won't have a message today. Should I go over that again? If I fell for what every young man will fall for then, saying that a young man must have money, I would have had money, but I won't have a message. The reason why you left everything you are doing to come and listen to me this evening was because God said, "Nah, lie. I won't let you fall for that." And I cooperated with it. So in that season, all I did was to sow seed, which this is the interesting part. I did not know that was what I was doing. I thought I was just having fun, actually. Yes. Listen to people like Bishop, they put money afternoon and night, going here and there. Oh God, every little money I had, I bought materials. I listened to messages. I wrote books, which nobody has published till today. I still have them in my house. I'm not joking about it. I remember a friend of mine, he said, please answer my phone call for me. I said, where are this intercom system where we're staying? I said, I'm not answering. He said, why not, but you're in the house? I said, I made my decision to make sure I'll be in the house in the evenings. You make your decision otherwise. So, oh boy, I am not your secretary. I'm not answering your phone calls. Why? Because when I'm in the house, it's when I'm reading. When I'm in the house, it's when I'm writing. When I'm in the house, it's when I'm meditating. When I'm in the house, it's when I'm putting things together, which God is my witness till today, all right? Stands as a foundation for what I preach today. I used to say jokingly that I didn't used to go anywhere. Why didn't I go anywhere? The literal, that is, the physical reason was because I could not afford to go anywhere. So I used to tell people that I didn't go anywhere. It was too expensive to just be going everywhere. So I stayed in my house. And when I stayed in my house, I read my books. When I stayed in my house, I listened to my messages. When I stayed in my house, I wrote my own materials. I give this example all the time. The book Choices, Key to Destiny was a sermon I wrote on 20-something pages, ordinary paper. And then I sent to the young woman I wanted to marry, is this part of just staying in the house and writing. As of today, it's our most popular book. That's from testimony. Look, this is the most popular book. I wrote it in quotes out of what? Idleness. What am I saying? You are the head. If you use the head to work on anything, it's because the season is coming. Did I hear an amen? Amen. The season will come. The season will come. If you are gifted as a writer, you don't have to be a spiritual writer like I am, you know. Choices, he that believes how to work for God, by faith acquire life, great faith can be yours, grace to prosper, you know, these things like that. I went for, I don't know how many of you know Nkem. Bishop would definitely know Nkem. One of the things that was given to me at the end of the wedding was a book written by his wife that she launched that day. By the time my wife and I took the book and read, I had to call them, and I said to her simply, what was it that I said then? I forgot how I said it, but as a matter of fact, this young woman is extremely gifted to write. I don't know any, it's just normal stories she will write to, short stories. But I won't lie to you, I can't identify one person who I can say, this person writes better than this young woman. It will be absolutely foolishness on her part if she does not continue writing. Are you getting my point? What she's supposed to do? Just continue writing. Nobody's publishing it. What difference does it make? These days, you can store 1 million books on a simple hard disk. And I mean that literally. You can store it on one single hard disk. So continue writing. You love to cook. You dazzle everybody with your recipes. Write them down. Anything God gives you is your responsibility to keep. You hear what I said? Anything God gives you is what? Your responsibility to keep. God gave Adam the garden. And what did he say to him? Guard it and keep it. Guard it and what? Keep it. You finish making maybe breakfast, and everybody say, wow, this is fantastic. And you know that morning you just concocted something out of nowhere. Please scribble it down. One day, you will have a restaurant and chains of restaurants where people will come to eat just that breakfast. What's the name of your friend? The book you like to read, Chick-fil-A. That man. Remember his name? Anyway, the man, there was a particular way he used to cook his chicken. That's what made him a billionaire. I forgot the name. What's the name of his restaurant chain? Something like all this McDonald's. His own. I forgot the name of his own now. All right, can you remember it? No, it's Chick-fil-A. Now, that's the name. What am I saying? Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, that's the name. Because of the way he cooked his chicken. Are you getting the point I'm making? If you have ideas for business, what do you do? write them down. One thing I see with people sometimes, they tell you love, they say, ah, forget those things, those were those days. And I'll be looking at them. There's one young man I knew once. This guy, once he sits down, he starts cooking ideas. So I looked at him and said, well, thank God you are very intelligent. Thank God you are training to be a doctor. Thank God you soon graduate. I said, when you finish, what are you planning to do? You join residency. Uh-huh. After that, of course, that's the greatest mistake. You go to America. So, Pari. You become an under doctor, you earn money. Yeah, you work in America as a doctor, you earn very good money. But that's the end of it. All those ideas are in your head. What happens to them? Nothing. 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 I said, is it a crime that God made you intelligent enough to study and become a doctor? No. It shouldn't be a crime. So why is it that you want to abandon the reason he actually gave you life? Because it's an easier way to make temporary gain. He said, no matter how rich you become, as a doctor working and seeing patients, you make a few millions and then that's the end of it. You ain't going to employ more than 3 other doctors, 5 nurses, and then, you know, a few people like yourself, start one small hospital and that's it. Especially since you don't have a special gift in that area. Yeah, a small clinic, that's all. But I listened to that young man a few times. I said, if this guy will pray to God and focus on this gift he has, he and Aliko Dangote one day will be dragging for who's the richest man in Africa. And I didn't mean that as a joke. I meant it. Are you getting my point? Listen, as a head, you recognize that your gift is precious. You recognize that that thing you can do that somebody else can't do is very precious. Are you getting my point? And listen to me. One day, God will breathe upon it. You know when God first made man, you know the man was not moving. I don't know what I heard I said. God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And then after that, let's assume God went on break. That man is dead. He's formed, but he's what? He's dead. Why? God has not yet breathed into him. What am I saying? There is a season in your life just before me, your Adam. God is soon coming to breathe. If he comes and all you have formed is a rat, he breathes on the rat and that's it. Only 2 rats will run up and down. Are you getting the point I'm making? Uh-huh. But if by the time he comes, you have formed a giant. Do you get my point? You have created a giant. You have created a massive company in your mind. You have created a massive idea in your mind. Then God breathes upon it. Then the story will be like that of Ron Kenoly again, which I've told so many times. Because he already had giants of music in his mind. When Don Moen and Co. came and through them, God breathed upon the idea. He produced the best-selling praise and worship album ever produced on the surface of the earth at that particular point in time. That's what it means to be a head. A head creates new things. A tail hides in what everybody else has created. They say, this is where it's working. This is where money is being made. It hides there. But a head runs for what? Ideas. He runs because he knows that I was born to bring something new into the earth. I said something at the beginning, that when God wanted to form you, he formed you because he already formed something else. I don't know what I heard what I said. He didn't form you first and then look for an idea for you to fulfill. Say, okay, this guy that we have formed is tall. He should be able to play basketball. Mike, what do you think? Yes, sir. Lord, he can jump. All right. Okay. Said, so the way his throat is, he should be able to sing. And Gabriel said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He should be able to sing. Okay. Send him to the earth. Find the choir for him to join. He should be able to release 2 albums. All right. Bye-bye. Next. Believe me, he doesn't do like that. He doesn't. What he does first is that we, as part of the program for the earth, there must be good music. As part of the program for the earth, praise must rise from the hearts of men to the heavens. And for that to happen, somebody must lead them. Somebody must bring joy to their hearts. Somebody must do that. I say, all right, so what we do is that, okay, create joy, praise, everything, put it together. Fine. So, all right, so for this to go down to the earth, which vessel do we put it in? They now formed somebody and say, you, go down to the earth, and once you are prepared, I will throw this inside you. Are you getting the point? That's how you got here. What did I say? That's how you got here. Say, that's how I got here. That's how I got here. That's how I got here. That way, when you have that mentality, it's not everything you take. Are you getting my point? You don't run around just because you are looking for money. No, you don't. Because you are indeed the head and not the tail.